buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, September the 18th, 2017. We're coming to you from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030, a station with a very strong signal. If you're anywhere, really all the way up to Phoenix, pretty much you'll be able to listen to KVOI. Got our live streaming, which means you don't need to be by a radio, but you're around a computer, fine. Buckmastershow.com, my website, has the live stream, as does KVOI.com. And we've got all of our podcasts and pretty much every show we have done since we began it in January 2011, archived for you at Buckmastershow.com. Monday, we get things rolling with the new week. It's our Monday political face-off. Today's team of commentators, seated to my left, Jeff Rogers. Jeff is former chairman of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff, how are you?
I'm very well.
Thanks for coming in. John Munger is here, seated to my right. Mr. Munger, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor. Both Mr. Munger and Mr. Rogers, both prominent Tucson attorneys. Great legal minds. How's that?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Thank you.
Give you guys some very good kudos there in the legal arena. The Buckmaster Show, the Monday political face-off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. I was over. I had some items to take into Moe on Saturday. Wow, they're doing a great job over there. Family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems, i.e. Mo makes house calls. He'll take care of hanging everything for you that you need taken care of at your home. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Jeff, how was your weekend?
Great weekend. Rode my horse as usual, and I think the highlight of it was that Ken Burns documentary last night about the Vietnam War. I was really pleased to see that they went back all the way into the 1800s and the colonial history of what is now Vietnam.
And that isn't usually done when, you know, we don't get really that feel that the United States made many of the same mistakes, certainly in the 50s. In fact, many of the American outposts in Vietnam were former French Legionnaire outposts.
That's exactly
in
right.
Vietnam, and then it all came undone for the French in 1954.
Yeah, so I'd highly recommend watching it. It's, you know, as with everything Ken Burns does, he looks at it in a pretty balanced way, I think, and the people he interviewed, and it was really outstanding. Good recommended viewing.
John, how are you?
I'm wonderful.
And
it's
how was
another
your,
day in paradise.
How was your weekend? What'd you do?
Well, my wife and I played golf and had a beautiful time, and I've got myself a new music mixer from to put together mixing my guitar music.
And are you a bass guitarist?
I play bass. I play. I'm learning bass. I've played guitar all my life and bought a bass so I'm mixing some of my music and adding various things to it and having fun.
And the team you follow, of course, you follow Arizona football, but you also follow Stanford, and they're really off to a rocky start.
They
lost to San Diego State. Although San Diego State, the Aztecs, are pretty good this year.
Well, they've beaten the Pac-10 teams regularly. Yeah. San Diego State is a good team.
So Stanford opening the season 1-2, and Jeff, it'll be interesting to see how the Wildcat football team now does. Now that the preseason,
I'm not terribly optimistic. I think I'd bet on Stanford over the U of A in the long run.
Well, first it was working with Democrats to keep the government from shutting down, and now the president has signaled a willingness to again work with the opposition, this time on an agreement to solve the fate of 800,000 young immigrants brought to this country as children, now here illegally. Jeff, they are called Dreamers. Do you think this is a good idea?
I think it's a good idea for all of us to work together when we can find a topic that we can agree upon and compromise on and work together on. And I think this is one where not only can the Trump administration work with Democrats, but I think Republicans can work with Democrats as well. I mean, other than some outlier people who are, you know, very viciously anti-immigrant, the bulk of the Republican Party, I think, recognizes that these people came here through no fault of their own. They're a small slice of the 11 million people who are not documented. And so I think we can all agree that this is one group of people who pass background checks, who haven't been in any trouble. Many of them have served honorably in our military, that they ought to be given some special accommodations. And they've been, their studies show that something like 75% of them are working or in school, and that many of them have increased the amount of money they're able to make once they were able to be legalized. So I think this is an area where a lot of bipartisan support can be had.
What do you think, John?
I think that's right. I think that a lot of the political class misunderstands where Republicans have been on this issue. I don't think Republicans, as Jeff has said, I don't think Republicans have had any problems with the Dreamers, the DACA folks. The issue has been that the DACA executive order by Obama violated the Constitution. He could not, and he acknowledged he could not legally and constitutionally pass or sign an executive order that was in violation of law. So the Republicans, I think, the great bulk of them, have never been against DACA. What they've been against is an unconstitutional act by President Obama in the executive order. Now, what President Trump has done is said, look, I want Congress to do this constitutionally and pass a law that makes the DACA of Dreamers legal. I have no problem with that. I agree with Jeff. I think this is a very special class of people who ought to have a law passed that gives them legalization. And I think that the political talking heads misunderstand where most of the Republicans are coming from. It's never been an anti-Dreamer position. It's been a constitutional position that if we're going to have that kind of law, it needs to be passed by Congress. Once it's passed by Congress, I think, as Jeff has said, the great bulk of Republicans will vote for it, and you're going to have outliers in any party on any issue, frankly. But and with regard, excuse me, to your question, I'm all for President Trump working with whoever he needs to work with to get his agenda passed, and I agree with that portion of his agenda.
All right, Jeff.
Well, it's debatable whether what Obama did is legal or not. And the legal scholars basically come down about 50-50 on it. The president and every executive has the duty and the ability to exercise what's called prosecutorial discretion. And that is basically targeting certain people, as Obama did, criminals and violent people who ought to be deported sooner, because we don't have the resources to focus on all 10, 11, 12 million people here who are here undocumented. So this was a way of exercising that discretion. And so it's a debatable legal argument either way. I don't know where the courts would come out on it. Frankly, it kind of probably depends a lot on where a lawsuit was filed. If it's filed in Texas district courts, Obama loses. If it's filed in a Ninth Circuit court, Obama probably wins. I mean, that's how divided we are as a nation. But it's a close, it's admittedly a close call legally.
Yeah. I disagree with that. Most of the scholars I've seen have said that, and President Obama himself, before he signed the executive order, said that he didn't have the constitutional authority to do that, and then he went ahead and did it anyway. I believe that's a much stronger case than Jeff has articulated. But in any case, the Republicans believed it was unconstitutional. That action was unconstitutional. And they want, if we're going to have a law that allows the Dreamers to live here, then let's run it through Congress, as our government is supposed to do, and pass a law. And I'm all for that law being passed, because I do think this is a special group of people. And I think most Republicans will support that and be perfectly happy once it's done clearly constitutionally.
Well, you got to wonder whether something will get done in 6 months because this thing.
Oh, it'll get done.
You think it'll get done?
Oh, sure.
I think this might be one of the rare cases where we get the government moving forward. Yeah. I think it might happen.
Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, is going to move this. The leaders in both parties want to move it. The president wants to move it. It's going to happen.
I think strategically he could have done a little bit better job instead of just, you know, lunching or dinnering with Schumer and Pelosi and then saying we've agreed upon a deal. He probably should have called in Ryan and McConnell and all of them together and said, look, we've all agreed we need to move forward on this. But, you know, President Trump is kind of a vindictive guy, and he's equally capable of twisting the knife in the back of his own party people as much as he is for the Democrats.
Yeah, I don't see how you can call it vindictive to have dinner with Nancy and Chuck, as he put it.
No, he's...
I think that's a sign of good faith that he may not have done it exactly the way Jeff wanted it done, but he's got getting the job done in his way, and I think that's a very good thing.
Well, John, he's been insulting Ryan and McConnell repeatedly over the past month.
Frankly, they've deserved it. Frankly, they haven't done what they needed to do.
I think we all need to get in the same boat and put an oar in the water and pull together.
And I think that's what he was inviting Nancy and Chuck to do. And I think Ryan and the Republican Party is on board that concept as well. And I think in the process, he was sending a message to the Republican Party, which needed to be sent, that if you don't work with me, I'll find the votes wherever I need the votes to get my agenda passed. I think it's indicative of that success is that the Republicans are now appear to be getting together to make another run at this Obamacare repeal and replace. And I think they're very close to getting that done. It happens to be the bill that I've always favored, and that's getting medical care issues back to the states with major, major block funding from the federal government to the states to finance that, and let the states have their own laws. If California wants to have a law that says single payer, fine. I don't care.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. David is on hold. We'll get to you, David, after the break. David wants to talk about the Dreamers. Jeff Rogers, John Munger with me on the Monday Political Face-Off, brought to us by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday at noon, the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman, plus our education contributor, Dr. Robert Hendricks. Dr. Hendricks, one-time Arizona School Superintendent of the Year, Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening, podcast, and show archive at buckmastershow.com.
Back, the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge. Moe's for all of your framing needs. David could not wait to ask the question. He had to leave, but he did Facebook me the question, and it is for Jeff Rogers and John Munger. If President Obama was violating the U.S. Constitution by deferring action for 5 years, isn't President Trump doing the same thing by deferring action himself for 6 months? Jeff and John?
Arguably that would be correct, although I don't think it violates the Constitution. Hmm. There were several state attorney generals who were prepared to sue and say that it did, and we would have had a definitive answer probably in a preliminary injunction or something like that within a couple of months of litigation. But arguably that David is correct there. It's either right for both of them or wrong for both of them, but I still think it's a pretty judicious action by him to say, let's not create all at once, and just say, okay, we're letting our agents loose on these poor kids that came here through no fault of their own.
Yeah, I think he's technically correct, mm-hmm. but you've got to deal with the situation as it is. It would have created absolute havoc to just end DACA. And instead, what he did is he said, okay, I'm going to continue it for 6 months. And then if Congress hasn't passed a law, I'm going to end it. That's probably the most judicious way to handle it. I think it was well handled.
Let's switch topics. The president spoke, John, before the United Nations today. Do you think there's a segment of American people who really would like to see the United States and the United Nations go their separate ways?
Well, I think there's always an extreme out
there.
That isn't going to happen. No. Certainly not under President Trump. But I think President Trump believes, and I believe, that the United Nations can be an effective organization. It has not been an effective organization. It has been incredibly anti-Israeli and biased in so many ways. It has not been efficiently run. And what President Trump and Nikki Haley, our ambassador to the UN, have been successful in doing is, number one, they've reduced the amount of anti-Israeli activities in the United Nations. That's already beginning to occur. And President Trump today said to the General Assembly today that the United Nations needs to be run more efficiently. They've doubled their staff in the past few years. They haven't done anything more. They're no more efficient, but they're doubling their staff. The United States is paying 22% of the bill at the United Nations, which is absurd. We're carrying an undue, an unfair share of it, and he's trying to fix that. There are some things that the United Nations is can be effective in, but they need to be effective, and they need to be more efficient. I'm not for ending our participation in the United Nations, but I am of a mind that the United Nations needs to be more friendly to our side of the agenda, and not leave the United States and Israel where the United Nations is just a forum to attack us.
Jeff?
Well, John and I have some common ground there. I think that the United Nations has been very harsh in its treatment of Israel, and I share that concern as well. And anything we can do to improve upon that certainly helps. But we've always had a permanent veto power, and so we've been able to save Israel from some of the most dire consequences that could have happened with the United Nations in the past, and I'm sure we'll continue to do so. I do think the United Nations provides a positive influence worldwide. I think they have been of some degree of help with the crisis we're suffering from right now with North Korea. They have, and frankly, China and Russia have even participated in the last several resolutions condemning North Korea and imposing sanctions upon them. Whether or not they'll impose the correct kind of sanctions themselves, which is fuel deliveries, which is where we need the most participation from both Russia and China. And perhaps we're learning today that they may be getting the rocket fuel for these intercontinental ballistic missiles from either Russia or China, and that needs to be cut out right away. Mm-hmm. And so there are areas in which the United Nations can help and does help worldwide, and also in refugee resettlement. They're very good at that. But, you know, we shouldn't be paying up to a quarter of the entire budget for the United Nations. I'd have to agree with that as well.
John, do you feel something is coming? This has got to come to a head on North Korea?
Well, I'm very concerned about North Korea. I think we have some military options that nobody is discussing. What I would like to see done immediately is have, if you want to get China's attention, what ought to be happening is we have talked about increasing Japan and South Korea's conventional weaponry.
Right.
But I think if President Trump announced that unless China took steps to cut off North Korea's oil and did the other sanctions, China did the other sanctions that Jeff was talking about, that Trump ought to announce that if that doesn't occur immediately, that we are going to provide Japan
with nuclear
weapons. And if you want to get China's attention, that doesn't mean we need to do it, but it needs to be. China doesn't want that kind of instability. If you want to get China's attention, you make that announcement that if this doesn't get fixed, we're going to do that. That's step one. I'd like to see that taken immediately. If China and Russia then continue to, or in any case continue to, provide North Korea with the support it needs to develop these weapons, we're going to have no choice but to do something militarily. Mm. I do not want to see a land war. I don't think North Korea is worth one American life. We didn't create this problem. And we need to do whatever we can militarily, and there are ways that nobody's discussing out there, and God bless them, they shouldn't be discussing all of our alternatives. I know some that we have that nobody's discussing, or I believe I know some, and we've got some alternatives. We don't need a land war. We've got to leave North Korea in a position where the Chinese don't feel threatened by us or the South Koreans. We basically got to take out Kim and his leadership, we don't need a mass. We're going to have to take out. There's going to be collateral damage in North Korea. That's too bad, but I'd rather have that than one American life lost.
Well, it's an intractable problem. And you'll remember it wasn't that long ago that we actually had tactical nuclear weapons stationed in South Korea.
That's true.
And that might be the better gamble, because I'm not sure Japan would accept tactical nuclear weapons in their country. There's a pretty anti, for obvious reasons, a pretty anti-nuclear weapon policy in that country, and a sentiment that's waves against it. Now, if they see this as an existential threat, perhaps they would change their minds about that. But that would be a pretty belligerent thing for us to do, to put tactical weapons in South Korea. But we used to have them there, it's not that.
The other thing we should be doing, in my opinion, is every time North Korea launches a missile, we ought to shoot it down.
All right, here's Robert real quickly. Let's see if we can work his comment in. Go ahead, Robert.
I'd like to ask the guest, Bill, exactly who does North Korea think is coming for them to take their country?
Okay.
I think they think it's us. Yeah. We're the target of all their belligerent and bellicose rhetoric. The truth of the matter is that a war would be devastating, because the fact is that Seoul is not that far away.
30 miles,
and you've got millions of people there. And even if they didn't use nuclear weapons on Seoul, they have one of the largest armies in the world, and they also have a large stockpile of non-nuclear weapons as well. I mean, they could devastate and basically, turn Seoul into, a parking lot.
All right.
Overnight. And so that's the real danger we face if we threaten or actually engage in military.
Yeah,
attacks.
I think real we quickly, have some Joe. Ways to take out their artillery that could injure Seoul badly. We have ways of taking out that artillery fairly fast. Yes, there will be destruction to Seoul, but I don't think it would be. If I read this right, if it's done correctly, the timing would have to be perfect. I think there are ways to start this and finish it fairly quickly and minimize the damage to Seoul.
All right, John and Jeff, thank you very much, gentlemen. Hope you have a good week.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook, presents our Monday Political Face-Off. Thank you, Moe, for your support. We'll be right back with our consumer scam of the month, and we're going to be talking about the Equifax, mother of all hacks, right? That's coming up next. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com.
Coming up on 12:35, the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Folks have so many questions about this. I'm kind of calling it the mother of all hacks, the Equifax data breach. We're going to talk about that here in a moment on our monthly interview segment presented by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. It is our monthly scam alert, and we welcome Suzanne Miller. Suzanne is the Director of Communications and Consumer Affairs at BBB. And folks, Suzanne, to put it mildly, people are really freaked out about this. Good to see you, by the way.
Great to see you, Bill. Sorry really, under people these circumstances.
People are really nervous about it.
Well, it's and rightly so.
140-some million Americans, so it's kind of like half the country.
Mm-hmm,
and you
got to
figure, like, kids probably haven't taken out necessarily these reports. So it's probably pretty much every adult in America is affected.
Absolutely. And you have to think on the kid part that you mentioned, you know, you are born with a credit report.
That's
like
true.
Your social security number is out there. And there is actually identity theft for those social security numbers that happen that they don't find out about until the child is old enough to apply for credit. And they're like, wait a minute, what's happened here? So they're probably affected as well.
So you can go to the Equifax website, something I did, to find out whether or not it's likely you were affected.
Yeah, you can definitely go to the site. They're just overwhelmed right now. They obviously aren't getting back to any of the emails that are sent to them. If you call them, you're just getting a voicemail. I mean, they're inundated. I mean, 123 million people. So, and then the same thing, you know, when it comes to, we're telling everybody to work with them directly when it comes to the updates, because there's so many frauds and scams related to that. So they are posting the updates, and that's the most important thing. Do go to their website for the updates, because as they have them, they are posting them.
They are offering a monitoring service, and some people are very nervous about signing up for that.
Well, there was some legal verbiage that was on there that would keep them from being able to be a part of any kind of a lawsuit. And, you know, from what I hear, that has been taken down. I didn't just check right now, but that's, you know, I haven't done it myself. I did get the notification to sign up because they tell you in a few days to check back. But I really wouldn't really worry about that verbiage, because it really couldn't stand up in court. This is a breach. And there's no getting around it.
So I'm hearing a lot of people are saying the best alternative is to freeze your credit.
And it is the best alternative.
It's not easy. Let's
put it
that way.
Because you have 123 million people doing it at one time.
That's right.
But that is the easiest way to make sure that you are being protected. So you freeze your credit reports and nobody can, you know, create an account under your Social Security number without your knowledge. So that's really important to do, and it's really effective when you do all three reports. That's where people are hitting a stone wall
in some cases, right?
Yeah, and I'm included in that. Right. You know, I went to go do it, and Equifax was free. That was quick. Experian was $5, did it online. Went to TransUnion, you fill out all the information, and then they say, hey, you need to send in. You actually have to mail in all of your information, and it's $5. Well, quite honestly, we have had some hurricane issues lately, correct? And
right.
That has created some mail issues. So in general, why would I want to put all of my personal information in the mail and hope that it gets to them?
That just feels very chancy to me.
It does. And so what I'm really kind of hoping is that they will address the situation and get caught up. And I think it's really just overwhelming their system. So maybe in a week or two, people should just check back, because sticking that information in the mail is not something I could recommend.
People are very, you know, this is going to make people very nervous about really any credit reports. But credit reports are needed in certain circumstances.
Absolutely.
Lots of them, actually, not just certain. You're going to buy a home, all this stuff, you're going to need a credit report.
And that's really where you want to freeze it and then have the option to unfreeze it.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these have additional services that you can pay for a little bit more, that allows you a little bit more control over freezing and unfreezing, and it's quicker. So you might just for now want to take advantage of that. Unfortunately, it works to their benefit, but
right.
you want to make sure that you are checking your credit report regularly. And the only the website authorized by the Federal Trade Commission to do this for free is the annualcreditreport.com. So I went to that and I checked it out as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quick. It was easy. You know, you fill out your security information, but it pulled right up. And I really recommend people take a look at that and make sure that you're doing this regularly, because right now everybody is in jeopardy and everyone's vulnerable.
And monitor your credit card statement, because the credit cards have been breached as well.
Exactly. Social Security numbers, mm-hmm. credit card information. So you really want to do this for both your credit card statements and your debit cards. So, you know, if they got your debit card information, that's cash in the bank that may disappear. So that you want to check those statements daily, quite honestly. The credit card, you know, don't wait for your monthly statement to come in right now. You need to be checking that at least every other day, at least for the next few weeks, and then definitely continue to monitor it. This is a proactive approach that really I recommend just in general. I mean, this data breach is just another example of unfortunately what the world's come to, and we have to be proactive about our own personal social information, security, you know, anything that could deal with identity theft.
Suzanne Miller with us. Do you have information about all of this up at your website?
Yes, it's all on our website and on our Facebook pages. We have links to all of the information. It's just the way to go. And we, again, highly recommend that businesses do their part to keep consumers' safe as well. And we actually have a website address. It's a data security made simpler for businesses,
okay.
and that's available on our website as well, so that they don't have to experience a data breach of their consumers' information.
Also, I want to quickly mention that used car buyers need to be aware of flood-damaged vehicles. This is a warning that was put out just today by you and your team at the Better Business Bureau.
Yeah, well, you know, we have both of those hurricanes that just happened, and unfortunately, that's a lot of damaged cars. And if you're going to purchase a used car and you really want a great deal, just make sure that you do your part to check for all of the hidden elements that could say that this is flood damage, because you could have rust, you could have mildew, you couldn't have must, you could have electrical. The biggest thing is the electrical issues that don't show up right away. So we are going to be posting that press release on our website today, and people can check that out. You know, they're just proactive tips to be smart about your used car buying.
Because the insurance companies tend to declare flooded vehicles as a loss based on the extensive damage.
Right.
And then what happens after that, they've done that, declared them to be a total loss, other parties could pick these cars up and
take
resell
them to auction.
Them, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so.
And, you know, and the insurance companies aren't doing anything wrong by declaring that. It's what happens to him afterwards. In fact, in the press release, we had Beth Danaheim from American Family Insurance give us insight as to, you know, what happens with those cars. So definitely take a look at the press release today and hear what she has to say and how to protect yourself.
And then getting back to the Equifax data breach. So it is difficult to reach Equifax at this point.
Yes.
Did you say you tried to freeze your credit report with Equifax?
Yes, and I was able to do it with Equifax.
And you were able to do that online?
Right. Okay. It was actually a very simple process. They're waiving their $5 fee. Experian was simple. It was a $5 fee. TransUnion, you put in all the information, but unfortunately, then you get this message, even after you put in your credit card information for $5. So I'm really interested to see how that pans out. Whoa. And they say, send in your information and send in a check. Well, I don't recommend either one of those.
No.
And this is a credit card company. You know, this is your livelihood. So I'm really just hoping that they fix that situation.
Well, you just wonder, they're probably worried about the future of their company, and they're trying to get people, discourage people from, you know, from freezing their credit.
Right.
So this publicity is horrible for these.
Well, you know, actually, Experian and TransUnion, this goes to their benefit because a lot of people are buying their programs to credit freeze and have their monitoring. So, but they have been overwhelmed, I'm sure. And I'm just hoping that TransUnion gets their system back up and running so that people are not actually mailing their information. That would just be awful.
Good information, as usual, from Suzanne Miller of the Better Business Bureau. We are so delighted to provide this information to our listeners. Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you, Bill.
And again, your website
is tucson.bbb.org. And we have all of our news and events on there, but everything that's related to this and our press releases are all there.
Good place. One-stop shopping right there. Thanks
Absolutely.
A lot.
Thank you, Bill.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City. What a great getaway this makes. It's only a three-hour drive over to Silver. 15 degrees cooler this time of year. It is so lovely over there. About 5,000 to 7,000 foot elevation makes for mild days and cool nights. Great autumn weather in Silver City. Check out southwestnewmexico.org for the full listing of the many places to stay and the great recreation opportunities. Anthony Jamino is a sports journalist who has covered University of Arizona athletics for more than two decades, and we are delighted that he is the Wildcat contributor to the Buckmaster Show. And he's been providing lately sports content for KOLD-TV on their website, TucsonNewsNow.com. He's the senior editor at Lindy's College Football Annuals. Anthony is co-author of a book on Arizona basketball, 100 Things Arizona Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, and he's co-host this season for the Wildcats basketball pre- and post-game shows on Sports Radio AM 1290. And his latest project, which is doing very well, and I've been checking it out recently. It's called AllSportsTucson.com. That's their sports blog. How are you, Anthony?
I'm good, Bill. Thanks.
So the blog is doing well. I'm correct, correct?
That would be correct. We've even added a couple veteran writers to the group recently, and bringing Tucson coverage, especially not only of Arizona, but of all kind of high school and youth sports, which I think is really important.
So here we go. We've got the three non-conference games. Pretty much U of A is where, Anthony, many people thought they would be. About 2-1, isn't that about? I mean, if we had beaten Houston, many thought that was really the icing on the cake. But this is about where many thought we would be, correct?
I think so. The Houston game was a big missed opportunity, and watch that game, and you didn't come away thinking Houston was a great team or that Arizona had to play great to beat them on that night. And it's just that Arizona did not play well, and in that game in particular, Brandon Dawkins, a quarterback, missed a lot of throws he should have made. To be honest. Missed some guys in the end zone, missed some guys deep over the middle. And he may have been a little banged up in that game, and backup quarterback Khalil Tate dealing with a little shoulder thing. So, and they had some injury issues hit them at that point, which may have cost them that game. 3-0 going into this Friday night game against Utah would have generated a little bit of buzz around here. Utah's coming in undefeated. They're number 23 now. They hit the AP rankings this week. Friday night game's kind of special. A lot of people will be watching across the country. So there's a chance for Arizona to atone for that Houston loss, but this one coming up here Friday night will be a really better indicator of where Arizona is.
This is a critical game for Arizona, and you know the quarterback had a good Dawkins had a great game, but again it was against UTEP,
UTEP was really struggling, weren't they? They didn't even have a – I think they had somebody that had been a wide receiver that wound up playing quarterback for UTEP.
So. Yeah, I would not read – I would caution everybody to not read too much into the UTEP game. And I went back and looked. Out of 130 teams in the country, for Lindy's, I think we rated UTEP around 122, 123. And that includes a couple of programs. We have one program that's absolutely new to college football this year in the FCS. UAB team that hasn't fielded a team in 2 years. Even that, I thought UTEP was rated a little too high in retrospect. they weren't very good. So Arizona absolutely did what it had to do. So that was you're supposed to take care of an inferior team, and Arizona did that. If they can use that in any way to build confidence for Brandon or the offense or the defense, have at it. This game will be, again, now it's all Pac-12 games the rest of the way, and things are going to be a lot different.
You know, with the exception of ASU, Anthony Gimeno, and Oregon State, I think the Pac-12, I think Arizona has its hands full. I think this is a good year for the Pac-12.
I think it's a good year. I think you identified the two teams that right now have played worse than Arizona, mm-hmm. Oregon State and Arizona State. Cal, which was a team everybody thought, okay, we're circling that game. We're counting that as a win in our season. Cal's played really well. And they went all the way across country. They beat a North Carolina team from the ACC. They beat an Ole Miss team from the SEC at home on Saturday night. We'll see how good they really are when they play SC. But Cal's looked a lot better, so there aren't a lot of easy wins. I'm not sure. SC can certainly be a national title contender. Washington can't be counted out of that. And that's really about it in terms of elite teams. But once again, the Pac-12 is really, really thick in the middle. There's just not a lot of easy outs.
Who do we not play this year, Anthony, in the Pac-12?
Well, good for Arizona. They don't play Washington.
Oh, boy.
And they don't play Stanford. Maybe this was a year to get Stanford. I don't know. Because they're struggling a little bit. But I bet by the end of the year, Stanford's still going to have their 8, 9, or 10 wins. So Arizona's schedule is actually really favorable to miss those two teams. That's a big help.
How about attendance? It's been a problem, hasn't it, so far this season?
Hasn't been good, which we thought would be the case coming off of the kind of season Arizona had last year with 3 wins. And I think that's certainly going to be a factor in terms of if a decision has to be made on whether the new athletic director, Dave Hickey, brings back Coach Rich Rodriguez or not. If that's the question come November, I think attendance and just local enthusiasm will play a role in that. It's not a great home schedule. They've got UCLA coming up in early October, Washington State in late October, and Washington State's a ranked team. But this is one of those years where they don't get SC at home, Arizona State's on the road, and I think that factors into a little bit. It wasn't a super attractive schedule. The team wasn't good last year. And it's just kind of the way of the world, Bill, where attendance is difficult in some places in college football, unless you're in the South or at Ohio State or Michigan or something like that. It's a problem a lot of athletic directors are dealing with, just because there are so many good viewing options and so many other things to do, rather than spend a lot of time at a college football game.
Three or four hours.
Football games, they're 3.5 hours, and I don't know if you're tailgating, that's a while, but you have to leave early, you got to park, you go to the game, then that's an all day experience, and that's not the way a lot of people want to spend their Saturday.
All right, Anthony, I've got 30 seconds. As far as basketball, the season will begin when?
Man, it's coming up. They announced, I wish I could remember off the top of my head, they announced the Red-Blue game today. I think it's like maybe October 20th.
Wow.
We get they always hold their media day pretty early, which I think is actually nice because you can compile a bunch of stories coming up, and that's coming up the week after next.
Wow.
So expect just within a couple of weeks a lot of basketball stories out of Arizona as well, and you know they're going to be a top 1, 2, or 3 team in the country in the preseason.
It's going to be fun. Anthony Jimeno, thank you very much. We'll look for your work at allsportstucson.com. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. This portion of Buckmaster presented by Green Things. We were over at Green Things on Thursday, actually, buying some roses and a bunch of geraniums. And always a great experience at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. It's really easy to find. It's just west of the Brandy Fenton Park there, and it's a really beautiful location now on 13 acres, and it's a destination in itself for all of the folks who, including myself, who enjoy tinkering around in the garden. All right, coming up this afternoon, we've got Mike Check with Mike Shaw, and Ray Allen will help Mike out. The two of them put together a great hour from 4 to 5, Monday through Friday, then Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9, then me, Bill Buckmaster, back. Again, Ray will be here with me tomorrow. So on behalf of Ray, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a great afternoon and evening. Talk to you tomorrow. We'll